we'll try to address all that. The question was asked if one may go into the bathroom with an MP3 player that has Divrei Torah on it, Shiurim, the laning of the Torah. So, let's say the MP3 player is not playing right now. Okay. It's off. Or you're listening to the radio on the MP3 player. So, or you're listening to classical music. You're not listening to those words inside the bathroom. So then, there's no problem taking that MP3 player into the bathroom. Because the MP3 player doesn't have any holy words on it. It just has the memory, however it's compiled, in whatever format it's compiled, the memory that can produce the sounds of Kriyat HaTorah. But it's not that you have words of Torah there. And therefore, you could take that MP3 player into the bathroom. Now, what about listening to the MP3 player? So, inside the bathroom, a person is not supposed to think any thoughts of Torah. So, listening to Torah is obviously thinking Torah. So, you would not be able to listen to that in the bathroom. I have the problem. I have a very small apartment. You guys were by us, right? So, let's say I want to lane. I'm going to read Kriyat HaTorah. And someone else wants to go to the bathroom. So I have a problem. How can I do that? They're going to automatically hear Divrei Torah when they're in the bathroom. Oh. So it's a problem. It's a problem. I have to watch myself. So that's a problem. Now in the shower, we're less stringent. The problem in the shower, there are two problems in the shower. One is that your body is uncovered. Mm-hmm. So when a person's body is uncovered, he could think Divrei Torah, he just can't speak Divrei Torah. The other problem is that his hands are going to touch unclean parts, right? So that problem, you can't do anything when your hands are touching unclean parts. But when you're shampooing your hair, or when the water's just running on you, so then you could think Divrei Torah, and you could even have, if there isn't a bathroom inside the shower room, meaning if it's separate, like many houses have it in Israel, so then if your shower is a standard shower, you could have even a shiur playing. Rav Avadia Yosef writes that. You could even have a shiur, the radio, if you want to listen to a shiur in the shower. That's okay, just when you're touching parts that aren't clean, then you shouldn't be listening or thinking it. What I meant when I said if it's a standard shower was that in the time of the Gemara, their showers, their bathhouses were set places. It wasn't like today that every person has a shower in their house. You went into a bathhouse, which was a place that was filled with steam, and it was very disgusting and sweaty, and because it stank and was disgusting, it was just a filthy place, so we treated it differently. Then we had to be more stringent, because it had the dinim in certain respects of a filthy place, where you wouldn't even be able to do that, to think Divrei Torah. But our showers are clean. Our showers, even when they're steam, they're clean. I don't know if I would say that about public showers. I don't know what kind of showers they have here at the Machon. But
not that bad, no.
But in your home shower, so...
Compared to what French cat at the moment.
Okay. Anything else? Did you guys, you brought up other things before?
Well, you said
the general rule is, if you're davening in a shul, so you have your own customs, right?
Yeah.
There's a pasuk that says, Lot it go to do. And our sages learned from that pasuk that lot it go to do means lot asu agudot. Lot it go to do literally is a form of weeping. You shouldn't weep in an extraordinary fashion. The Torah limits us. You can cry, you can't scratch yourself, you can't do certain things that are exceptional to show your sorrow. You can't make yourself bleed. You're limited in what you could do when a person is sad. But our sages understood from that pasuk that lot it go to do also means lot asu agudot agudot. Don't have the Jewish people being sections, even when everyone's in his own group.
Yeah.
And that's a biblical prohibition. Now, what does it mean lot it go to do? So it means you shouldn't have in one city, one court says you're allowed to eat this, another court says you're not allowed to eat this. So now you have this group is eating it and this group isn't eating it. What do you mean? We're one Jewish people. You can't do that. In the same city, you can't have one court going like this and one court going like that. So this applies also to a shul. When you enter a shul, and let's say your custom is that even on Monday and Thursday, right after Shmona Esrei, you put your head down Tachanun. But that's not their custom. So you have to go with their custom. Anything that's recognizable to the crowd, you have to go with them. Anything that no one sees what you're doing, then you could do your custom. So in your silent prayer, you could say your minhag.
I heard two different opinions in Kedusha. Kedusha, you should say your own. Your own customer.
Okay.
And I also heard like here it's different too because you're in the yeshiva. This is where you live.
So that's a different point that it might pay to adapt the yeshiva's customs because then you have a set of customs. The yeshiva tries to give you at least something that you could take with you. If you have your own custom, right? If you have your own custom.
That's the Tachron thing.
Yeah, like we do. I do only according to our tradition only on Shini Chamishi.
What only on Shini Chamishi?
We do.
Oh, we do, yeah.
So should I just stand and don't say anything then? Because I don't put my head down. Immediately here, it's maybe not a problem because it's a house of different customs. I don't know.
I have to think about what you're doing.
Because the other thing I was in the kibbutz, somebody said it to me, like if all Israel stands, you should stand also. So
that's true. There is such a rule.
So I. Which Mona is ready, everybody, if you're not even there, you should stand.
No, if everyone sees you sitting and learning, so you're not davening with them.
No, but if you're in your davening, not at the Shmona Esrei already, then you should start to stand.
I wouldn't say that, no.
But I have learned, when maybe I cannot read Ivrit so fast. I begin with to pray with the others, but then I can't follow the others.
So
it means I don't stay up when the other start each morning. So,
yeah,
so I wouldn't worry about that. At this point, go at your own pace. But ideally, you should try at least Shmoneh Esrei to say with them, even if it means you have to skip a little. We have already. This is a class that comes up every few weeks. Someone asks the question. So if you email me, I'll email you the link. We have already a few times that we discussed how you could skip and be at Shmoneh Esrei with the crowd. You should try to do that. But especially if people see you're davening, it's not a problem.
Oh, you think you mean the shortest possible prayer?
Yeah.
Or more?
There's the shortest possible prayer, and there's another class on the shortest possible prayer.
The shortest
Give me the links.
Okay.
give your email address.
Anything else?
One other thing in the Knesset.
Yeah.
I said here, like, in the synagogue, like, you have these benches, the back of the other bench, where you're heading. You can put things on, and you could put things under.
Okay.
So I put my
Yeah.
Fill in one on top, and the neighbor said, no, it's too holy, the upper part, you shouldn't put the fill in.
Do whatever you want.
So, what's the reason? Yeah, I mean, you put your sigil also there.
Yeah, it's no problem. You don't have to believe everything everyone does. You could put your fill in there. He probably meant that he doesn't want it to be knocked down, because if it's on a slant, it could be knocked down. But that's your decision. The Gemara says a person shouldn't hang up his tefillin in a fashion that's disrespectful or that they might fall. But you weren't hanging it. You put it on a thing like this where it's a slight slant and you see it. It won't fall down.
Yeah.
So that's your call. That's okay. In my opinion, that's okay. I wouldn't worry about it. I would do it.
No, I mean that he said it because it's holy or something. This
okay.
Point of the
I think he's getting confused. There is such a concept about the central bima. Central bima, so there's a discussion. Can you place your own sfarim on it? Can you lean on it? How holy do we treat that? Because that's established for the Sefer Torah to be placed on. So that's Tashmishei Kedusha. But your own stender where you're davening, I don't think that's a problem.
No.
I would do it. And anyways, your tefillin are holier than your siddur.
Yeah,
so you could do that. Even though he might say it's Tashmishei Mitzvah, but your tefillin were handwritten. They have that were handwritten, and the siddur is all printed, so that automatically elevates it.
Yeah. But can I have a question for your question? In Zurich, I have another nusach than here. That means I have to follow the nusach from here.
No, but the things that are obvious that you're different, you shouldn't be obvious. Don't do things that when someone walks in, he sees, oh, they're not one crowd of Jews. Some people do this, some people do that. No. When to the naked eye, it should look like we're all doing the same thing. But things that no one knows what you're saying in Shmona Esrei, if you have a different minhag of what to say, all kinds of things that no one has to know what you're doing, so that you go with your own minhag. It's no one's business. Unless you want to adopt the minhag of here.
Yeah.
So that's a different question, yes. And that also I think we have a recorded class on switching minhagim.
No, I mean that's what he asked.
Yeah, because I think actually our tachanun is longer or something. If I don't start immediately, more or less, then I don't finish.
So start, they don't have to know what you're doing. Yeah, so maybe that you should do according to their order. So you could say that and then skip back. You could put your head down like they put their head down and then fill in the rest.
Mm.
It's not the ideal. The ideal is the ideal is after you leave the machon to find the shul that davens your nusa. But when you're here, it's good to get accustomed to davening here, because every other shul you go to is going to be much quicker than here. And over here, at least you'll get accustomed to davening correctly. So that's why it does pay to daven here. Aside from which, it's always good to daven where you learn. According to some opinions, that's even more important than davening in Minyan. So today we don't go that way. But still, it's very important to daven where you learn. And you learn here, so it's good to daven here. Ideally, it should be within 4 footsteps of where you learn. Not just the same room. But worst comes to worst, so you're here.
Is it okay when I say Birkat Toshacha in my room and like filling the toilet there when still someone is sleeping there and didn't wash his hands?
It's not your problem. The only issue you could have is if there's a bad smell, then you can't daven there. You can't pray there, you can't make a blessing there. And ordinarily when people sleep, so they emit a bad smell. But otherwise you have no problem. That's his problem if he didn't wash his hands or anything. Cool. You could daven, you could put on tefillin, you could say kol tashachar, everything you want.
But can he answer amen as long as he didn't wash his hands?
If his hands are clean, he could answer amen. There are 2 reasons why we wash our hands in the morning. 3 reasons why we wash our hands in the morning. The Gemara says that when we sleep, there's a bad spirit that comes to our hands. That bad spirit isn't the reason not to say amen. It's a problem. You don't want to have a bad spirit on your hands. The Gemara says it'll affect any drink or food you touch. It'll affect you badly if you touch your eyes or any opening in your body or someone else's opening in the body. That you shouldn't do. It's not good. The bad spirit could harm. Whatever that means. But that's not why...
I didn't understand. With the affecting on the eyes or...
How it affects?
This is a spiritual.
It's a spiritual thing.
Affection. How does it then affect the eyes? It could never get into that your eyes get bad. That you can't see.
Oh yeah.
So good.
Yeah. I could tell you. I know people who are on a certain level, that if you will touch a drink after you wake up, without washing your hands, and they'll drink that drink, they'll get sick from it. To you, most people, it won't affect. I know people that it does affect. That if they'll drink a drink or a food that was touched by someone who didn't wash their hands after they woke up, they'll get sick.
Because they're reaching another level?
I guess. I don't know how to explain it. You have to ask them. I saw it with my own eyes. Someone told me it was that way. I thought he was joking. So I tried it. He got sick. I didn't think he was serious. I thought he was like... As I said, I was young, I was foolish. Yeah. He told me, I don't get it. My throat's killing me, and it's the type of hurt, he told me. We were in the same room, he said, it's the type of pain I have in my throat when I eat something that someone touched, but I was very careful. I said, oy vey.
Documentaries on hygiene, it's also with flies. They have you do microscopically dirty, are they? I mean, also with handles of the toilet things. The handles get dirty, nobody cleans them that much. But it's a very thin layer, but people get sick of it. Most of the times of these kind of things.
Yeah, but this is something where today we wear pajamas, we don't even touch ourselves.
Yeah.
So, the 2 other reasons why we wash our hands in the morning. So these 2 reasons really are 2 different opinions, Machlokas Rashba and the Rush. as to why our sages instituted washing hands in the morning. A blessing on washing hands in the morning. One opinion says because you touch yourself at night, so your hands get dirty. You touch your covered parts, you touch parts of your body where you sweat, so you have to clean them. So our sages said, we'll institute washing hands in the morning, and you'll make a blessing on them. The other opinion says that when a person awakens in the morning, he's like a new creation. He's here to serve his creator. The Kohanim, when they entered the Beis Hamikdash, they wanted to serve their creator. They would wash their hands, right? They'd wash as a sign of holiness. So we begin the day as a new creation. We thank God for giving us the ability to stand, the ability to see. So another thing that we do is we wash our hands in preparation for serving our creator. That's the other understanding as to why we do it. Now, if the problem is that your hands are dirty, so then you cannot answer amen. But if you slept like most people with pajamas, today people sleep with pajamas, so their hands aren't really dirty when they wake up in the morning. So then it's only a problem of bad spirits. So then I think he could answer amen. I think so. But he might not know that. And if you tell him that, so he might tell you all kinds of other things. So okay, let him ask his rabbi. That's his business. I'm answering you more in case you're the guy who's in bed and someone else is making the blessing. But for someone else, ordinarily I'd say let him ask whoever he asks, and he'll get his answer.
But for you, it's not a problem.
No. Yeah. Any other questions?
No.
You were gone for 10, 15 minutes, so you must have thought of things.
I was in the bathroom. I think of things.
No, because you said that when you're not here, you think of things.
Listen, those are oatmeal cookies.